Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And this is so exciting today because we have the debut show of Empowering Women, sponsored by Reitenauer, Highton & Lewis, certainly my favorite law firm. Carol Spivey, Executive Director, thank you for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This is phenomenal because we had Law Talk, and we had a lot of great information, and now Empowering Women is going to honor the highest profile, highest impact, most not just successful, but people that really make a difference. And that could be parents, it could be educators, it could be judges, attorneys, it could be a variety of people that make a difference, really about reaching their full potential in whatever they do.
Correct.
And I think that's really the exciting part of Empowering Women every second Monday from 2 to 3. And we have an amazing guest to start off this show, this debut. And, of course, the topic's going to be women and leadership. And who we have in studio joining us is Dr. Cleve Stevens, the founder and president of the Los Angeles-based Owl Sight Intentions. Welcome, Dr.
Thank you.
Do I say Dr. Cleve or Dr. Stevens?
Or Cleve.
Or Cleve.
That's
either
fine.
One. Okay, this is great. And, of course, you got your Ph.D. That's the doctor part of your
that
name.
That would be the doctor
part, in social ethics from USC, one of my favorite schools. I'm a big Trojan fan.
Fight on, baby.
Oh, yeah. We were a little disappointed with the probation, but what can you do? I mean, that's going to happen. Look at Ohio State. You could be in worse position, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And you got a master's in divinity at Princeton, Ivy League.
Indeed.
Wow, you've been all over the place. And, of course, a bachelor's in English literature at UC Irvine.
Correct.
I used to live near there.
You did?
Yeah, I was in Fountain Valley.
Fountain Valley, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty
nice.
7 or 8 miles
from Irvine.
Yeah, which is beautiful out there, by
yeah,
the way.
It is.
So tell us a little bit. Actually, before I have you tell us, I'm going to sort of set the tone because the structure of Breakthrough Thinking and, of course, our sports edition, Breakthrough Sports, is all about the mindset. I've always told people that it's not the external circumstances that dictate your life. It's really your belief systems about that, how you interpret it. That's so critical. And I'm going to read a headline, and you can elaborate on this. It's the corporate growth and productivity achievable in spite of recession when focus shifts to place highest value on human development instead of profits or externals. Why don't you explain that? And then we'll get into, of course, women in leadership. But this is the basis for what you really are consulting about.
Yeah. The idea in that statement, which goes against the fundamental Wall Street principle that the only responsibility that the business leader has is to the shareholder. And this says, no. That's what's gotten us into the problem that we're in. If we really look at it at a core level, we are in the position we are economically and in our financial systems because that was the basis for all of our quote-unquote moral thinking. What I say and what many other, what I would like to think of as enlightened leadership thinkers, business thinkers say is that stop. You focus on your people. That doesn't mean you're soft and squishy. It means you demand from them, but you grow them. You make them your priority. And the profits follow. Now, it's not as simple as that, but the fact remains that in this approach, when the business leaders are savvy and they are fundamentally committed to how they are and what they produce with their people, the profits always go up.
And I would absolutely agree. I've said this for many years, just as you have said it for many years. If you think about it, there's a logic to it.
Sure.
Even though it's at an unconscious level often, and most of our world is unconscious, and some people look like all their world is unconscious. However, this is very important because there is a logic. If you upgrade your skills, if you change your limiting beliefs or disempowering beliefs to empowering beliefs, And even your identity, what your role is, what your purpose, your mission in life, with which most people, I think, don't even know, it stands to reason that if you're performing in excellence versus mediocre, you are going to make more profits.
Absolutely. And this whole model says we have two focuses. The model is called transforming integrative leadership. And there are two focuses. One is the people and the other is excellence. And so you're pushing, demanding, growing, nurturing, doing whatever it takes to get your people to play at a higher level. That also means, Dave, exactly what you're talking about, having them come to grips with the extent to which their ineffective behaviors are a function of unconscious self-sabotage.
There's no question about it. And, you know, how I always talked about it is perform above your self-imposed limitations.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the world, all of a sudden, the people in it, performing above their self-imposed limitations with integrity and with the desire to serve others?
Right.
What would the world be like?
Yeah. No. And I mean, obviously, it would be radically different. Now, you said something else that I think is really important. You said when people begin to operate with a sense of purpose or a sense of meaning, and one of the things that happens in this model is people come to work for a different reason. They produce excellence for a different reason, and they show up in a different way. That means when they go home at night, they're different. They are different with their kids. It creates that. This goes back to what you said about how different our world would be. Well, just think maybe, let's say 15% of the businesses in America operated out of this model, the way Southwest does, the way Starbucks does, the way multiple other corporations that people don't recognize the names do. But they only make about 4 or 5%. If we doubled that, how different American culture would be, let alone the world culture.
You know, in this article that I think you probably wrote or might be about,
Which wrote it. Which one are you talking about?
It's the one, World Link Media Consultants.
Yeah, that's the press release.
Yeah. It? This is excellent, though, because when you do this type of thing, this transformation, what you say is what we find is that first, employee satisfaction goes through the roof. Second, customer satisfaction follows and goes through the roof, and then the bottom and top line results improve in ways that are absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that when you stop, when I work with the clients that I work with, I have never once had anybody say, that doesn't make any sense. The fact is that when you take care of your employees, how are they going to be with your customers? There's almost, you know, it's interesting because forget about this transformational stuff. Just in the transactional business world, there are study after study after study that shows there's almost a one-to-one correlation. If your employees are happy, your customers are going to be happy.
Absolutely.
If you serve your people, they will serve your – and that's – there's no magic here except in the sense of what you talked about, meaning purpose. When people have purpose, they begin to show up differently. They begin to play a different game, and they begin to go past their irrational limitations.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And, you know, and what I find interesting, and then we'll get into women in leadership. However, I want to talk a little bit about this, because as a CPA, a business consultant, using right. neuro-linguistic programming, and of course, Tony Robbins is the most well-known of the NLP practitioners. However, you know, I find people just get stopped in their tracks. Let me ask you a question. What stops people from doing something like this, working on them versus working on something external? What do you think stops people?
Stops them from achieving or
actually working internally.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Freud said that one of the single bravest thing any human being can do is look at themselves inwardly for a protracted period of time. And the reason he said that is because we have such a deep-seated fear that what we're going to find when we pull the covers back is ugly. And the fact is that outside of those who are pathological, when we pull the covers back, what we find is false beliefs, but we find beauty.
Absolutely.
And so the reason why people don't want to do the work is they're afraid, I believe. And my work and my research tells me that it's an irrational fear that when they look down, they're going to find out that their fears are the truth. The fears that maybe they're not smart enough. The fears that they're not lovable. The fears that they're not deserving of goodness and success, et cetera, et cetera. And those are irrational.
Yeah.
And so it's the irrational fear that we have buried down there that we don't want to look at that keeps us from actually looking to find that irrational fear is not founded in anything but childhood fantasies.
So the pain is too strong for them to break through, although once you break through that pain, and you can actually, there's ways to minimize what is perceived as major pain. The beauty is beyond that, and it's an incredible life. In fact, in your Forbes article, it says Socrates always said the unexamined life is not worth living.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a very famous quote, and his point being that most of us run through life surviving. We don't live, we survive and we exist. The only way we get beyond survival and mere existence toward really living life is by being willing to look at our lives and to do the examining. But back to the point you made earlier, most of the time it's nowhere near as painful as people think it's going to be. In fact, the pain is, as you said, minuscule in comparison to the bounty of possibility that emerges from that willingness to look within.
And it's only a perception of that pain to be. It's not really the truth of the pain.
That's exactly
right. It's the perception.
Right.
And now a couple other things, and then after our break, we've got about 3 minutes left or so for the first break. We'll go into the women in leadership. But let's set the stage on this one. I think, you know, the proof on the other side is that look what's happened to the economy. And I believe it's because of short-term thinking and greed that made it collapse.
Zero doubt. I think that the most irrational thing that we've done is pretend that the joke, quote unquote, greed is good, that what was the character from Wall Street? I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, yeah.
Gecko, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gecko's whole thing about greed is good was meant to be a critique, but really, in the 80s and 90s and the early and the aughts, 2000, we embraced it as if that really is a virtue, as if greed somehow has some inherent good in it, and it doesn't. It's insane.
It's not only insane, it's about me, me, me,
oh, yeah,
versus serving others, about contributing way beyond to maybe other generations.
Sure. There is, as you said, it's extraordinarily short-sighted, and it is suicidal. I mean, we came a hair's breadth away from completely going off a cliff, and we haven't pulled that far back.
That's right.
And we're still doing the same doggone things.
I was going to ask, time to bleep. Where's the bleep?
The same dolgarn, galdarn things.
Yeah.
Dolgarn.
You can say that, yes.
Yeah, that set us up for that, because we're not willing to look at the fundamental foundation for how we think. And this is not anti-profit. It's profit, big time. But it's about a different foundation.
Now, do you think people will really learn, the general population, or is it a temporary slap on the wrist, and if things turn again, which I think it's going to be a while, but if they do turn again, they're going to go back to their same old habits?
Well, that's what we're trying to do now.
Yeah.
That's what the banking system is trying to do today. And that's what most of the branches of government are trying to get us to say, okay, we had a tweak here and an adjustment there, and if we just go back to the way we were doing it, we just did it a little bit wrong, as opposed to saying, no, maybe our whole premise for operating is out of kilter.
Now, is the government an example where it's going to be really tough to change behaviors there and mindset? Or, because I think private companies will probably get it as they see more evidence. However, the government, it's such ingrained in power and ego.
You have the same power and ego things in business. The difference is business is smaller, and there's a more immediate cause and effect relationship. That's why business probably will get it faster. The bureaucracy of government that doesn't have a bottom line sensibility the way business does would keep it from getting it as fast as business.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Cleve Stevens, the president and founder of Owl Sight Intentions, and Carol Spivey, executive director of Reignauer, Heighton & Lewis. And we'll be right back.
Reignauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reignauer, Heighton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac and Carol Spivey, Executive Director for Right Now at Hyphen and Lewis, and special in-studio guest, Dr. Cleve Stevens, founder and president of Al Sight Intentions. Now, let's go into the topic, which is women and leadership. And why don't we start off on this? Because I think you would agree the world needs some strong, effective female leaders today. And what's your take on that? And why is it important now? Or maybe it was always important, but is it, maybe you can comment on that.
Well, yeah, I've always been a firm believer, always meaning throughout my 25 years of doing this type of consulting, that the strongest organizations, organizations that have a powerful presence or a strong representation of women, not because it's appropriate and it's politically the correct thing to do, but because women leaders bring something to the equation that I think men often don't bring. And as a consequence, those teams function at a higher level. That's been my experience. And so it's that's anecdotal, but I can tell you there's a lot of research that suggests that's the case too.
And what do they bring? What are some of the qualities that you would suggest they bring to the table?
There's a different sensibility that a strong woman leader brings. The women tend to have a greater, on the moral scale, they lean more toward community and fairness, where men lean more toward individuality and justice. And you need all four of those things. And effective teams are willing to bring – first of all, a team is a kind of community. Women cause teams to work better if they are strong leaders. I'm not talking about a woman, period. I'm talking about a woman who can lead, a woman who's got the guts to stand up and step in. I'm not talking about a woman who tries to be a man. I'm talking about a woman who's strong in and of herself and is not afraid of the fact that she's a woman and it's fine to be a woman.
And we have a great leader today, Carol Spivey. I mean, executive director of Right Now, Right and Lewis, as Kurt was raising his hands in victory, something LeBron didn't do yesterday. But anyway, but he did, you know, he did have a celebration, LeBron. And the celebration is when they announced he was coming and to South Beach and the Miami Heat.
Yeah, when he decided to take his talent.
And they were all dancing at their
press
conference.
The big thing. Yeah, they had their celebration. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they thought they could mail it in, but we'll talk about that on the sports show. But Carol, does that make sense to you? I mean, here you are, executive director of a rather large law firm, and truly the best law firm I've ever seen, Right Now or Hyten & Lewis. Does that make sense? Do you think you see differences between leaders' qualities from the man's side versus the woman's side?
Absolutely. I think what Cleve says is exactly what I observe. And we find that for instance, in our firm, we have female partners, and they're very active in setting the tone for the firm. They bring a different culture to the firm, and certainly on committees, they tend to add a lot. And I know what Cleve's saying is community. There seems to be a sense that when the women get involved on a committee, it lasts longer, it stays in place longer, it does more. So, I mean, I definitely agree.
And it's not because women are warm and fuzzy. It's because women have an intuitive understanding of how important it is to connect. It's instinctive. Some men have it, too. Some men have it, too. And when women are on the team, they bring out what you're describing, Carol. Mm-hmm. They bring this, they allow some of these men to go, okay, yeah, it is important that I communicate and make contact. Women understand that not as something to make you feel good, as something that is an effective means of working and living together. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, it's not the warm and fuzzy stuff. It's Mm-mm. There is a deep importance to being able to connect and make contact with people.
Right.
Okay.
That's that's what the Mavericks did yesterday. They made contact with each other. You saw how emotionally available Dirk was after the game, right?
Absolutely.
His eyes out.
Yeah, he did. And I think that's why he walked off the court first.
It is why. He said that in one of the interviews afterwards.
In fact, that's why the Miracle on Ice, when the United States beat Russia, where the coach went right to the locker room in just a moment of his own presence. And same situation.
But actually, I'm not being glib, because what Carol's talking about is exactly one of the things you see on successful sports teams, and the Mavs are a perfect example. These guys, not to say that Miami didn't have a sense of cohesion, because I think they did, but there was such a strong leadership from Jason Terry and a strong sense of we're in this thing together. They really were in it together. Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Terry, Jason Kidd, the whole deal.
You know, there's no doubt. And also, you know, we actually brought this up last Friday on the sports show. And, of course, I did pick Dallas in six. Yay! We had some other pick Miami Heat in seven. I said there's no way. You look at the language patterns. You looked at especially Jason Terry. I mean, he put a tattoo on his arm, I think already setting he's a world champ. Commitment, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
And he also said it's now our time or determination. He had single, focus, congruent words. What did LeBron do on Twitter? He said it's now or never. From an NLP perspective, I brought it up on Friday. I go, he's not going to win because he's given himself an out. It's either now, and if it doesn't work, it'll be never. It's not a single focused, committed, congruent action.
And it was about it's now or never for LeBron. The implicit communication was, I'm going to step up. But you know, another thing, I want to take it back to what Carol said. Women bring an understanding of commitment, too, that men often bring, but women seem to be able to evoke it more effectively and evoke it in others more effectively. That's what I've seen in women leaders. Now, this is not to say that men don't do this and men don't have this capacity. But when women are around, the capacity to say, I'm in this, let's make this happen, period, is much more readily available. That's been my experience.
And as well as mine, I think it makes sense. And let me ask both of you this question then. Do you think the cultural beliefs in the United States, and maybe in Europe too, but at least here in the United States, that men are somewhat taught to protect ego, have power, and that sort of restricts their ability to be great leaders? Let's go to Carol. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to say yes. I think ego is certainly a drive for a lot of men. I happen to be lucky enough to work with some that don't really have that challenge, but I believe some women have that as well,
sure.
But for the most part, the women that I work with, associate attorneys or partner attorneys, they show up themselves. They don't put an ego out there. They really are who they are when you're dealing with them. And I think ego does sometimes hinder men.
But I can testify to your firm. I mean, you have great people there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jim Hyten. I mean, there's no egos there.
No.
That I could see. And I know, I think all the attorneys, we've had them on the mm-hmm. show, and it's just a great firm. Now, on the other hand, women, I mean, instinctively, like you were talking about, Cleve, is perhaps, are they more intuitive, perhaps, and more nurturing, so it could set the stage of fairness?
Well, you know, there's it's interesting because you talked about individualism, and individualism can be is a necessary and healthy thing, and it's something that men tend to be more focused on autonomy. Well, when that's balanced by a greater sense of commitment to the community, and these men are developing their sense of commitment to something bigger than themselves, that women are more instinctively involved in, the women can then become be willing to embrace autonomy in a more thoroughgoing way. And so that they rub off on each other. That's why it's essential to have both. And as Carol said, there are lots of women leaders who have been extraordinarily egotistical and all about themselves. But all things being equal, it's when you have both. But that's a little bit off topic.
Yeah. Although you mentioned the best organizations you've seen have pretty good balance of or a significant percentage of strong smart women in key roles.
And those are two very important terms, because these are not these are strong women, and women who have the courage to play at this level in a world that is still largely a man's world. We can pretend and we can acknowledge all the great advances we've made racially and gender-wise, but the fact is it's still largely run by white men. And for women to step into that role, they got to be pretty strong. They got to be tough, but they always seem to add a different flavor and sensibility that allows the team to be stronger.
Now, some of the best companies, like you mentioned, I'm a real big fan of Southwest Airlines,
right,
by the way,
right.
A huge fan.
Yeah.
And they
very
seem
transformative. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they seem to have recognized this actually way long ago.
Yeah.
And is that because of Herb?
Kelleher is a man way ahead of his time. And it's so funny because both he and Howard Schultz of Starbucks are men who understand humanity, whether it's a man or a woman, you know, or whatever. I guess that's about it, isn't it?
But well, not in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, not in Hollywood. And anyway, we'll leave that one alone, Dave. It is Kelleher. Kelleher has a remarkable mind, and it's what's surprising to me is even with Southwest is the only profitable airline in the United States. They've been profitable for 30 straight years. Is it 30 straight years?
I think so.
It may be more than that. But yeah. They're the only airline in the U.S. to have that anything remotely like that kind of a track record. And still, organizations refuse to emulate them. JetBlue has picked up a lot of their behaviors. But Kelleher thinks from a hugely global mindset. He sees the big picture. He's not an ideologue. He's not attached to a dogma of what it's supposed to be like.
And also, what I understand is he works from a reverse pyramid, meaning that if you look at a traditional pyramid, there's the point at the top, everyone works for him. He believes he works for everyone else. That's quite a mind shift.
That's amazing.
It is.
It is incredible. And every time I usually fly Southwest, I just love that airline. And I always ask, I go, how's Herb? You know, and they just, people light up when I talk to them. They've told me that, and I don't know if this is correct or not, but this is what I've heard. He knows every one of his employees' names, which is hard to believe. That's what I've heard.
Oh.
Can you believe that?
No, that's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe, but he has that. The bottom line there is
he has that
caring for people.
Yeah, whether he knows every. The fact is, he knows that they're what matter.
Yeah.
The idea of the reverse pyramid is very similar to the transformational sensibility. It says, my job as a leader is to elevate the people, to make them successful.
And to say the sky's the limit, too, to allow them, even if they have to leave the organization to fulfill their potential, that's got to be a key ingredient in the belief system of a great leader.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I with almost every single organization I begin working with, I start off by saying, if you're going to go through this process, you can rest assured you're probably going to lose some key people because they're going to wake up and say, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
My life is supposed to be doing. And you have to be okay with that.
But mission accomplished.
That's right.
Because as a leader, that's your purpose, to make sure people find their purpose.
Well, for the kind of leader we're talking about, that's the case. Unfortunately, that's not the norm.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Cleve Stevens, the founder and president of Alsight Intentions, and of course, Carol Spivey, executive director for Reidenauer, Heighton, and Lewis. And we're talking about women and leadership. Stay tuned for more. We'll be right back.
Hi. Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac with right now our Heitman and Lewis, Executive Director Carol Spivey, and special in-studio guest Dr. Cleve Stevens, the founder and president of Owl Sight Intentions. We're talking about women and leadership. It's an inside-outside job as opposed to relying on the outside circumstances. Now, we were talking off there a little bit, Cleve, about Cleve and Carol, about cultural constraints placed on both men and women, but talk a little bit about how this impacts maybe self-esteem issues, belief in self confidence, and those type of things.
I probably will build off of something that Carol just said, but everybody has issues around, at some degree, challenges with confidence. All of us have it to one degree or another. Questions about who we are and what we're capable of. It seems that for a lot of women, not all women, not especially not the younger women, but for a lot of women, that is magnified based on what the way culture and society has told women they should be. And so the issues of finding their voice in the business world or finding their voice in the professional world is far more challenging. They seem to have a magnified degree of confidence issues. And so what happens is some of the most amazing talent goes untapped. And Carol was talking about the fact that it's not a culturally imposed sensibility, it's a self-imposed mentality. What did you mean by that?
Well, part of what I was talking about was women who are middle-aged in the workforce these days grew up in a different time. And so they have imposed some of those restrictions on themselves just by virtue of how they were raised or the culture when they grew up. So a lot of women tend to be working in an environment that is perfectly accepting of women, but because of their stage in life or where they originated, they have these beliefs, you know, be seen and not heard, and all of those cliched type terms.
That can run very, very deep. Mm-hmm. And that gets into the unconscious stuff and the stuff that causes us to back away. And so those things can run very deep. And even though they started off by being a part of the cultural mores, they become internalized. And then the women and men, we all impose those upon ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is to get women who come from that period in time to overcome that. Because what we see in some of the younger women who grew up in a different culture,
very different.
They're far less. They have the normal, you know, questions and doubts and fears and anxieties, but it's not imposed. It doesn't run as deep as some of the women who grew up in a different time when it was still highly questioned. My mom, you know, grew up in that space, and she was like a proto-feminist in many ways. But she had to fight to get herself to overcome some of those questions about herself and like that.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not only cultural, but it's also the corporate culture and the perception by the men leaders that maybe they took from the culture regarding women leaders. And that's got to be big.
That's not the case at Ridenour, Hyde,
and
Lewis, which is quite remarkable. I mean, it really isn't. But they're not normal. They're exceptional. And I say that not just to please Carol's ears, but it's true. It's to have strong men leaders who really respect and appreciate women the way the leaders at Ridenour, Hyde, and Lewis do is atypical in any kind of a corporate setting.
So how do you handle that? And I agree with you with Ridenour, Hyde, and Lewis. They are exceptional in that area, as well as many others. The question, though, is how do you handle, let's say, a man leader?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And you have a woman leader that is somewhat precluded from moving up and maybe gets shy away from some of the ridicule at an unconscious level, perhaps. How do you explain to a man leader this is just not helping your company? And because there's egos involved, there's very fixed beliefs from the culture and what's expected of him.
It's interesting, Dave, that you know today it's not acceptable to be a sexist. Today it's not acceptable to be a racist. And so we all harbor sensibilities in that direction. You know, we all have little quirks and things that we don't want to know is there. The biggest thing that I found is getting these CEOs and executives who I sense they really have issues with women and women leaders to come to grips with the fact that they have issues. Because the first thing they say is, are you calling me a sexist? I'm not a sexist. Who the hell do you think? Who the heck do you think you are? I'm a good guy. I think women are fine. But, you know, I fill my quota, you know, and that sort of a thing. But it's getting them to point out the fact that they're and then when you can talk to them about the talent of the individual, male or female. So we got a woman who's extremely talented, and I don't know why you can't see it, Larry, because everybody else on your team sees that this is the right hire for this position, but you keep saying no. My suspicion is it's because she's a woman.
They finally admit it? Or?
Well, rarely. Sometimes they will. It depends. Sometimes they'll admit it, but quite frequently they'll hire the woman when I say that because I don't want to be called a sexist. but the point is it's getting people to – because it's not bad as long as we're honest about it and we can see a bigger picture if we're willing to notice. As an NLP guy, you know that the biggest thing is beginning to notice and observe behaviors that are contrary to the behaviors you want. That helps us begin to see what's down underneath it.
Absolutely, because behaviors come from beliefs and values, and they manifest into behavior.
Absolutely. In fact, virtually all of our behaviors happen instantaneously at an unconscious automatic level that are based on those belief systems.
Absolutely.
And so we can't really change things at a fundamental level until we begin to change the leaders and how they think about themselves.
Yeah, and I always said this too, is, you know, behavior modification just with the behavior part just doesn't work.
Nope.
It's temporary. It's out of fear. But if you go underneath that and change someone's values or beliefs or identity, even skills, then you're going to see changes in behaviors.
That's right. It's
Robert Diltz, great NLP practitioner, first generation with Bandler and Grinder, came up along with Gregory Bateson, an anthropologist, about logical levels and the points of intervention. And if anyone's interested, I can certainly give them some references on that. But as you're talking about this, I'm thinking that possibly part of the ego, part of the power of men, perhaps, is covering up an insecurity.
Sure.
And that might be then really not allowing women to reach their full
certainly potential. The power plays that you see in the corporate world are often driven, in fact, most of them are driven by compensation for, you know, most of our stupid behaviors are compensating for a deeper fear, usually an irrational fear. But, you're right. It's the ego-based idiocy that we see, that we saw, and that has hurt us so much is largely driven by a need to make up for a perceived defect.
Yeah, yeah. That's but it's such a blessing when you don't try to cover it up, go right to the heart of it, and transform it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the basis of what you do, isn't
it? Yeah, sure it is. Sure. It's getting people to actually uncover and see what those false, 9 times out of 10, no more than that, 99.99% of the time, they're false beliefs
yeah.
about being unworthy and so on and so forth and all the other stuff. And we've all got them. If you're human, you've got them. The question is, are they impairing you? And if they are, then the only way to go about fixing it, man or woman, is by uncovering them and beginning the work of changing the way your mind works.
Let me ask both of you about this. I think the culture teaches a certain goal system that has in it its fabric a failure right off the bat. So a lot of people want having goals. I want, you know, the 2 cars. I want the house. I want this and that. Implicit in that, I believe, is they think that will lead to happiness, number one. Then the second step is doing goals. So if they can't have it, then I guess I got to do something to get that. The last one is being this goals or mm-hmm. state of being goals mm-hmm. where should be reversed, in my opinion. I think
no
you
question.
Start with the being this goals that you will be happy each and every day since it's a choice. Go out and do something in the world, and then if you want to get something, have it. Comment.
Well, yeah, you just paid tribute to Mr. Maslow, right?
Yeah.
And so the idea, I totally agree with that. In fact, again, this is where women as leaders are strong. The work that I do causes people to shift their ways of being. Beingness always precedes doingness. If you
yeah.
can learn to create new and different ways of being, confidence is a way of being.
Absolutely.
And if you can shift that, and see, it does seem the case that women get this a little more quickly than men. And I think it's because of the, in a community, to be connected, you've got to be together. You don't just have to do together. And then you can actually achieve things. Now, it does work the other way, too, sometimes in terms of teamness. You get aggressive and committed and work together, and you learn how to be together.
There's no doubt about it. In fact, the Turtles had a great song, So Happy. What was that song? Kurt, yeah, Happy Together. I remember it.
I remember it.
Wow, that's going
hum
away.
A few bars, Dave. That
oh,
is, that
I
is
forget.
A,
Kurt, you sing it. Harry. Wait, the audience can't hear
nice.
That.
Very nice.
Oh, he was just
good
us.
Pitch. I like
anyway,
it.
Anyway, I don't think anyone heard it because he added on the non-audience.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
so we just heard it.
But we're excited. Now, Tony Robbins said something I thought very interesting. He said, do you succeed to be happy or do you happily succeed? That's what we're talking about,
yeah,
isn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah. It's understanding that it's the process. And that's one of the things that's atypical in our culture. Getting to understand that part of the joy is being in the process, working towards something that's worthwhile with people and causing better things to happen. Understand it's right now. It's that, you know, it's so cliched in our culture. It's the journey. It's be here now. Well, there's truth to that. And
yeah.
it's can we actually pursue these extraordinary things, but really get that doing it is the joy. Going toward it,
right.
Moving in that direction, being in that moment is the joy.
It's not the destination, is
That's
it?
Right. That's right.
I totally agree. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Cleve Stevens, the founder and president of Owl Sight Intentions, and Carol Spivey, executive director for Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis, a most great and wonderful law firm. We'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm.
ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, along with Carol Spivey, Executive Director for Reidenauer, Heitken & Lewis, a great law firm, and special in-studio guest, Dr. Cleve Stevens, founder and president of Owl Sight Intentions. Now, I understand, Cleve, you have a book coming out. Tell us about it.
And we autograph it for me. You brought that up, Dave. How'd you know to do that? That was marvelous.
I don't know. I have this intuitive sense. And I have balanced leadership qualities.
Yes, you are very balanced and, and results driven. That's the other thing. Yeah, I have my first book is going to be published, be out in stores October 1st, and it's entitled "The Eros of Leadership: Power, Profit, and Transformation."
Now say that again.
The Eros, E-R-O-S. Pronounce it either Eros as in erotic or Eros. And so it's the eros of leadership, meaning the drive toward life. And the ancient Greeks, we think of eros as being exclusively about sexuality and like in erotica. But eros meant the thrust, the drive for expansion, for growth, evolution, the development of bigger and more. And so the premise of the book is that for us to be effective leaders, we have to be in the process of expanding who we are, how we show up, how we manifest ourselves, and how we lead our people. We must be expanding who they are, developing them, and expanding the size and the scope and the impact of the organization on the community. So now, that's the premise of the book.
Now, it sounds like the book is really describing what you do for companies.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us about how you go about this, what you do. What would be a good profile client or company that would really benefit?
An example of the type of company?
Yeah.
Well, what I do when I go into organizations is I help the leadership team and the two or three layers of leadership down below become more conscious about how they lead, why they lead, what they're up to. I challenge them to do some of the things we've been talking about, to really confront themselves, take themselves on, such that they will become more effective, more powerful, more results driven, more compassionate, all of those things tied into one, and as a consequence of that, transform the organization.
So like a better human being, and then part of being a human being could be a leader.
Well, sure. So this whole model says that you're not going to become a better leader unless you become a better person. Those two are inextricable. So it goes to the soul of what it means to be both a leader and a human being.
Now, have you seen cases where, you know, certain people in the organization are very excited, and I suspect because of the different levels of resistance in the unconscious mind, you're going to get certain resistance from others, some not as much. Is that a challenge for
you? It's a real challenge. It's probably the single biggest challenge I face, because invariably I won't take a client on unless I know or have a very strong sense that the primary leaders or the senior leader really is excited about this. Invariably, there are going to be some people who this terrifies, because it demands that we do things that are atypical for a normal business, which is really do some work with what it means to be strong, what it means to be courageous, what it means to be powerful, what it means to be open and trusting. These are things that scare most people. It's not soft and squishy. It's terrifying to a good amount of people. And so one of the big challenges is getting people to do some of the stuff we talked about, recognizing that when they do some of this deeper looking within, they find that some of the dragons are not there. The demons really are not there.
So I know you've been working with Reitenauer, Hyten, and Lewis. So, Carol, what have you seen? It's been about 6 months. What have you seen that's interesting, great for you and your company?
One of the things I want to say first is that law firms aren't really like typical corporations. Yeah. They're very matrix. They have matrix management. They're a little bit different, but during this past year and a half, during the downturn in the economy, our firm's been lucky enough to do a lot of growth. And we've basically doubled in size. And as a result, we wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody, we have a lot of new people, that everybody was on board with the vision of the firm. So Bill Reitenauer brought Cleve in. And what I've noticed is there is The program is about leadership development, teamwork development. So it's not only, in our case, just the leadership of the firm. It is the associate level, which will be the future leadership of the firm, the support staff. All of that makes up our organization. So what I've noticed from my perspective is the communication within the organization. People are much more open in a kind way. We talk about items we want to address, things that people believe would help client service. Serving our clients is clearly one of our major objectives. So we really are working on different ways to help our clients. We also want to help the community. So we're looking at ways to really, as a firm, make a difference in our community. So all of this has come out of our workshops and leadership groups, and it's been transformational. It really has.
Yeah, that is so exciting. And you probably, let's see, 6 months, is that a, well, let me ask you this. What type of commitment does a company need to make? Is it, there's got to be a certain time frame.
Yeah.
You
it's,
just don't want to go in one day and
no.
Magically, hey, it's done.
No, it takes a real serious commitment on both the leadership and my part to go in, because I won't work with an organization for less than a year at a time. And one of the things that's remarkable about Reitenauer, Hyten, and Lewis is the quality and commitment of the people in the firm. And it's been such a joy to work with them, because they really want, they're already a marvelous organization, and they want to become extraordinary. And quite frankly, I don't want to mess with people that don't want to do the extraordinary. And you have these talented, smart people who have normal human challenges, who want to step up and play an even bigger game that they've been playing. And so there's a visionary quality to Bill Reitenauer and Jim Hyten and Tammy Lewis that allow them to say, well, okay, we're doing fine. We're doing really well now, actually. How do we move it and notch it up to a whole different plateau? And what's it going to take? And this work is not easy. And they've had the guts to step in and play. And it's not very often that I enjoy a client as much as I've enjoyed these people.
Well, I believe that too. And I think, as you're talking about this, what I wrote down, what came to mind when you talked about Reitenauer, Hyten, and Lewis, it's a standard of excellence. They're like the role model for law firms that should operate this way.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And they understand that excellence and effectiveness and success and extraordinary results are not in conflict with compassion and insight and openness and a desire to be serving something larger than the individual. That's what I think makes this organization exceptional.
So what I'm going to ask you, and I think I know the answer. I'm going to take a chance on this one with about 4 minutes left, I believe, or maybe even 5 minutes. We got an extra minute. Okay, thank you, Kurt. I'm going to guess that any size, any industry can benefit from this type of thing. And the reason, you know why I say that?
Why?
All right, who wants to ask me?
Okay. Come on, what's the reason?
Okay, here's the reason. It's because it's not about external. It's about even a one-man shop, a one-woman shop. You got to go inward to go outward. That's so right. It's about the person.
Yeah, see, I've worked in there are only a handful of industries I've not worked in. And because it is about the people. Leadership is leadership. Yeah, there are variances and there are things that I have to adjust for. But it is exactly what you say. If you're going to become more effective as a leader, you learn to shift how you understand yourself at a deeper level and a higher level. And as a consequence of that, your leadership will change. Your people will flourish. But it all starts from within.
So let me ask you this with the last remaining minutes, because this is about empowering women. What can women do even before they get into a company? I think there's a lot of things they can do within themselves, certainly men too, but what can they do, what they can focus on, any recommendation, any resources from you that you would suggest, and then maybe how to pick the firm that might match up well with them.
Well, you know, one of the things that I would part of this I want to defer to Carol, because I think that she understands this intuitively based on some of the stuff that she's done and just stepped up and the way that she has expanded her range already as an excellent leader. But one of the most important thing is to learn how to be honest with where you limit yourself. And now that doesn't apply just to women. That applies to men and women.
Absolutely.
But the capacity to be honest is exceptional. I would also encourage any female leader or a woman who aspires to be a leader to really check the record of the firm that she's going into. Have they, in this time, after, you know, the last 40 or 50 years, if they have not had significant women in leadership, there's a reason for that. And so they might want to think twice about that kind of a situation.
That's a good point. Carol, what would you comment on regarding that? What can women do even prior to entering the workforce?
Well, I would just say evaluate what you perceive as your weaknesses. Look into yourself and see if those are self-imposed or if they're things that you can obtain more education or take public speaking programs, those kinds of things to develop your confidence, because that really has been something that you see, that women tend to hang back. And they're brilliant, and they should be able to offer what they bring to the table. So I would just say anything they can do to encourage their education and self-confidence building.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah, and I would just add, understand how much the world needs women leaders, and understand that's it's an extraordinary gap that we've got to fill.
Yeah, and I think the time is right. I mean, it's always been important, but the time is right because obviously the old way and some with the traditional men leaders, that has not worked, as evidenced by, look what's happened. Rome is burning.
That's right.
That's a problem. So let's go to Cleve. Contact information, more on your book. How do they get in touch with you?
Owlsightintentions.com. That's owlsightintentions.com.
Excellent. And the book's coming out in October. And what is it again?
The Eros of Leadership, Power, Profit, and Transformation.
Wow, I'm going to get that. Will you autograph it for me?
I will indeed.
I love this stuff. And Carol, how do people get in touch with your great, great law firm?
Ridenour Hinton, www.rhkl-law.com. And 602-254-9900.
I've memorized that number.
Have you?
I even know Jim's number by heart.
You memorized it. I flubbed it. So there you
no,
go.
No, no. You said it really nicely, actually. So this has been enlightening and absolutely critical for not only in business but in life.
In life.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
I mean, because why not be a better spouse, better parent, better whatever you're going to be doing? Because it all makes a difference. And actually, I saw, what movie was that? It was actually a good movie with Peter, the guy from Twilight. I forgot his name. Rob Peterson, I think. He said that everything's insignificant, but everything you do with passion and excellence. And he said, the people that you touch, always the fingerprints will never fade. Think about that. So if you're going to touch people, you know,
that's
spiritually,
lovely.
Emotionally, that's really nice. Make sure you're touching them with excellence. And thank you so much, Dr. Cleve Stephens.
And
Carol Spivey, thank you so much. And stay tuned for Understanding Autism coming right up.